Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary and Video Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:36, and it is December 1st. And today I've posted quite a number of charts in Comment of the Day, and I thought I'd just quickly scroll through them because there is such a high degree of commonality evident right across different sectors, which, you know, gives us an indication of how the market is working at present, that we're not just getting one particular share moving within a sector. It is these very large block trades that are occurring where people are just moving from one asset class to the other, and then you're just getting these very large moves but contributing to high degrees of commonality. So there seems to be very high short-term conviction, but at the same time that these flows can switch around pretty quickly. And oil today, on the back of this decision by OPEC to cut supply by around 1 million barrels a day, then it broke on the upside, that Brent crude hit a new recovery high, at least temporarily today. Upside follow-through tomorrow would be rather encouraging from the perspective of the bulls. It would suggest that we are back in a recovery trajectory overall. The oil and gas sector has been pricing in the potential for oil prices to be a bit firmer for most of the year, in fact, and have been outperforming the oil price. Now, the FTSE is very heavily weighted by Royal Dutch Shell, both the A and B shares, but even BP, which has been really in the doldrums following the Macondo accident back in 2010, it was in positive territory and is now quickly approaching the upper side of what has been a 6-year base. But it isn't just in the UK. Then you have the S&P 500 oil and gas producers breaking out. It's the same for the Canadian and the Australian energy sectors. And the Australian sector had been lagging, but it is now breaking on the upside. And you can see that all of these are breaking, you know, really quite long downtrends overall. Then, until quite recently, the alternative energy sector, and most particularly solar, was really quite tied to was priced dependent on the oil price. But that is that relationship has broken down because there's a price war going on. The cost of solar cells has been declining steadily, and not least because there are very large factories in China just pumping them out with very little regard for profitability. That has contributed to the cost of solar cells declining, and at the same time, the technology that is supporting the sector overall is innovating at a very rapid rate. So then that represents additional headwinds for the sector, because as soon as somebody comes out with a new technology, then the old technology is instantly obsolete. The chances are that it's going to be a very difficult sector in which to invest, but nonetheless, the global economy will benefit really quite profoundly. There's certainly that to the underperformance of the sector right now. Now, when we look at what's been happening in Treasury yields, then this has been a substantial rally. It isn't quite as large yet as the rally that we had following the Tabor tantrum. The fact is, though, that the discount rate is rising, and it was not rising when we had the Tabor tantrum. Nonetheless, there is an important statistic in here today, that 10-year treasuries are around 2.43%, and Italian government bonds are around 2%. Now, obviously, we can thank Mario Draghi and the ECB for that particular condition, but nonetheless, it either says that there is quite a bit more risk in US treasuries, or that Italian government bonds are rather overpriced. And then, is there a trade, and I'm sure I'm not the only person thinking this, but is there a trade that one could buy treasuries and short Italian bonds and pick up the spread? We cannot rule out the possibility for a buy the dip type strategy, but considering that the LIBOR rates are close to 1% now that we have got the virtual certainty of an interest rate hike in a couple of weeks' time, and that the market is pricing in additional rate hikes next year, then there is an expectation of additional growth in future, somewhat higher inflation, and the realization that bond yields were ridiculously low last summer. That would suggest that if we do get a buy the dip, and not, or perhaps more correctly to say that the oversold condition gets unwound to some extent, then that would be an additional opportunity to short into any kind of rally in prices or to buy the yields. So because we're getting this, and this is a much larger pullback on a total return basis overall than we had during, it's already a larger pullback than the taper tantrum, whereas the yield has not yet rallied. And the difference, of course, is because of those LIBOR rates have gone up. But the banking sector is responding very favorably to all of this. And it isn't just the US banking sector, it is the banking sectors just about everywhere, because obviously it is not just Treasury yields that are rising, but even Bund yields have pushed back above their 200-day moving average. So banking sectors have been in the absolute doldrums for much of the last decade. They haven't been able to raise their dividends. They have been marginal businesses overall because they haven't been able to make loans, and the loans that they have made, they haven't been making any money on because interest rates have been so low. Then they haven't been able to increase their dividends as a result. So there hasn't been really very much reason for investors to get interested in the sector. But with the prospect of deregulation and higher interest rates, then new business lines open up, existing business lines become more profitable, and there is the prospect that they will start to either institute dividends or increase them. And it is a cheap sector overall. So we are seeing pretty impressive rallies in the UK, in the USA, and the Singapore sector broke to new recovery highs in here today. The Taiwanese sector was also very firm in here today. The Australian sector is still reasonably steady. The Canadian sector has also steadied as well. So we are getting I think an attitude adjustment towards the financial sector on a global basis. When you get that kind of global commonality, then I think it is something that we just have to sit up and pay attention to. If there is money flowing into the energy sector, money flowing into the banking sector, and then it's also moving into defense, into infrastructure and consumer discretionary, then it has to be coming out of something. And it is coming out, at least certainly out of the bond market, but it is also coming out of some of the technology shares that were the most high flying. And there are key day reversals evident on some of the shares that were most overextended relative to their respective trend means. And if where there aren't key reversals, then there are large downward dynamics. And among those are Lam Research, Analog Devices, Microchip Technology, and Applied Materials. And they were among the leading decliners in here today. And Nvidia, which is the best performing stock on the Nasdaq 100 this year, and even as of today, it is still up 166% this year. But this is the first clear downward dynamic that we have seen following what has been an incredible acceleration on the upside. And just to put that into perspective, I think it is appropriate to look at the point and figure chart. It just went straight up for months on end, and now we have had the first sign of a point and figure reversal. Now, when you see that kind of acceleration and the first clear downward dynamic afterwards, well, then we can conclude that at least somebody has had a stop triggered, that the very rabid buying power that got prices up to these levels has been chastened at least somewhat. And then we've had the first downward dynamic. It will need to hold. The last time we had a pullback, then this point and figure chart pulled back by 5 units of scale, and we've just had the reversal. a pullback of 6 units of scale would be a larger reaction overall and would signal mean reversion is underway. So it is a substantially more risky market now, and not least because having gone from around $25 earlier at the very beginning of this year, it has closed in on the psychological 100 level, and I think it got up towards 95 last week. So it is definitely a more risky market overall. Then, when we look at the rest of the world, then stock markets are generally reasonably steady. The pound was also steadier in here today. It's back up to 126. Well, and closing out the day maybe just below it. Now we can see from the chart that this is more or less the upper side of the short-term range. That there probably isn't a great deal of appetite in Whitehall or at the Bank of England for a pound that is substantially stronger. There is still a great deal of uncertainty with regard to the Brexit negotiations, and sentiment with regard to those negotiations is ebbing and flowing. Right now, it is a bit more optimistic relative to the pessimism that was being expressed last week, but as I said, this is going to be swings and roundabouts. We're going to get both bullish and bearish prognostications until we have something substantive to base a decision upon. But the reality is that, and this is, I think, perhaps the most important lesson overall, that a few years ago we had more things that we could be sure about. There was synchronized global monetary expansion. There was a condition where the dollar had been trending lower for quite a while, and the political situation was very much locked in a status quo. And now a lot of that has already changed. We have the prospect of higher interest rates. We have political volatility. We have quite a substantial rotation going on, and the dollar is trending higher. The dollar index is continuing to hold just above the 100 area. It has obviously got this short-term overbought condition, which is absolutely to be expected when you get a breakout, but there has been the distinct absence of downward dynamics, and what we are now getting is at least a little bit of consolidation in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. And generally, there is nothing there to say that this breakout has failed or is likely to fail. And again, if we have the dollar now trending higher when it had been trending lower, oil prices beginning to trend higher when they had been trending lower, and political uncertainty increasing against a background where the status quo has been completely upended, then what we can certainly conclude is that the risk premium has increased, and that is something that is being reflected in the interest rate markets. Now, against all of that background, if we are indeed looking at potentially additional inflation, which again is another aspect that is almost totally alien to the status quo, then we have to be looking at what is it that is likely to benefit. And there is certainly money flowing out of bonds and into equities. And I think that is a very important characteristic overall. I think there was a news story in here today, and it was along the lines of Norway's wealth fund wants to add 129 billion in stock. That is a lot of stock. And of course, this is one of the largest wealth funds in the world. We also had the news a few months ago that Saudi Arabia and SoftBank are creating a was it a $90 billion digital fund to invest in technology. Now, if central banks are themselves, sorry, excuse me, if countries are themselves beginning to move out of bonds and into equities, we already know, of course, that the Swiss National Bank has been buying shares, then, and not just Swiss shares, but US shares, then we can see the evidence of a move out of bonds and into equities. That could be potentially very powerful for equities overall. And if, in fact, earnings do not keep pace with the advance, then we could be moving into a period of time where equity premiums go up, and that the demand is such that we get more expensive valuations overall. So this is a very interesting environment overall, that we are getting a rotation, and that so far within this bull market over the last 7 years, these rotations have gone pretty smoothly overall. What is, I think, rather interesting is not so much the shares that are pulling back in the technology sector, but rather those that are exhibiting relative strength. I'll attempt to highlight some of those tomorrow. But obviously, that this is very short term, and I think that there is a pretty solid bet that it is going to be the types of shares that benefit from higher interest rates and fiscal stimulus will outperform just about everything else over the next few months. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.